Right, the first reading is from Jonah chapter 1, verse 15 to chapter 2, verse 10. So we continue on from the story of last week with Jonah. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, 'I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, you brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer rose to you, your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel is from Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman came from that vicinity, came to him and crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," he said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," he said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm sure you're dying to get on with making a whale. These things are always a little tricky, which is why I made one up, so you can see how it's going to look. Always makes it easier to work it out if you can see the finished product, doesn't it? My friend sent me a video of him turning it into a puppet and running around going. Now, there's a little surprise in the inside. I don't know whether you can see him. But if you look in the mouth of the whale, there's Jonah. So he's in there. Poor Jonah. He's going to come out, though. The whale's going to vomit him up, but we're not going to do that with this. Anyway, so we need colouring in first because he's a bit bland in white, isn't he? It's not quite the right colours for a whale. So we have a whale and we have a master instruction sheet. Please do not cut up the master instruction sheet. That is so that you know how to put it together. And this is one of those glue stick things, which, because these ones I think are getting a bit dead. And there we have whales. So I will leave you to produce your own versions of what Jonah's big fish may have looked like. And indeed, we do not know whether Jonah's big fish was a fish or a whale, really. And there are those who say this is impossible, but God is God of the impossible anyway. However, there have been, over time, there are reported cases of people being swallowed whole and surviving. And indeed, I believe a humpback whale swallowed a diver a little while ago and spat him out again eventually. And he was all right, but a little freaked out. I think I would be too. Just a touch. Anyway, so last week we were talking about Jonah and Jonah coming to that place where he recognizes he's the problem, which I think he knew in the first place, but he was trying to pretend. Because, you know, for a while we pretend that we're not the problem, even when we know we're the problem. And for a while we pretend we're not running from God when we know exactly what we're doing. And you're on the ship to Tarshish, but you're actually there and God's saying, excuse me. And you're going, la, 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 la. He got over that eventually, of course, as we saw. And then decided that the only way to save the people on that boat from the storm and the only way to calm God down was for them to throw him over the side. The only way to fix the situation was to go overboard. Interestingly, he asked them to throw him overboard. Interesting. Maybe he just couldn't bring himself to do it to himself. But also there's this whole thing about doing that in a sort of quote-unquote suicidal way. So I guess there's a point to that as well, in that it is it's not good to take your own life ever. But, of course, he knew that was the only way to go and he thought he would drown, didn't he? I mean, you would think that. You're in the middle of the ocean. If you go overboard in the middle of the ocean, unless somebody picks you up or you have something to hold on to, you're going to sink eventually, aren't you? So I think that Jonah was quite sure that this was going to kill him. And so he's in a position where he's really making a choice to save the lives of others by giving up his own. But he's doing that because he realizes he's the one who's wrong. If Jonah had not made the choices he made, then they wouldn't be in the situation they're in. And that's a difficult place to be. I'm not recommending anybody ask someone to throw them overboard when they realize that maybe they've done all the wrong things, because God has better ways of dealing with it than that these days. But at this point in Jonah's life at this time, this is where he's at. And this is where the sailor's at, because they don't want to throw him overboard, do they? They paddled and working to get to land. They were going to put him off the ship, but they wanted to put him on land. But they couldn't. They couldn't make any headway. So now we're at this point. And it's one of those moments where we would expect that when the fish opens up its big mouth and swallows Jonah, that the first things that we get recorded from Jonah are going to be a lament. Oh, God, what am I doing inside a fish? Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, help me. I don't want to be in the fish. I'm really sorry. I did all the wrong things. Can you get me out of the fish? Not actually what that says, is it? What does it say? I called to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me. Out of the valley of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. He's giving thanks. In the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, and he's giving thanks. He's giving thanks for God saving his life. Now, from the inside of the belly of a fish where you're being slowly digested, feeling like you're being saved would be very interesting unless you'd just been thrown overboard from a boat. If I was swimming in the ocean and I got swallowed, I might not be giving thanks. I might be thinking that this might be the end. But you see, God has just saved him from drowning by using a fish. And there's this thing where people say, oh, Jonah came to repentance in the belly of the fish. No, he didn't. Jonah came to repentance before they threw him over the side. Jonah knew he was wrong before they threw him over the side. Jonah understood that he needed to say sorry to God before that moment. This is the result of his repentance and his willingness to save the others, and of his throwing himself at the mercy of God by being thrown over the side. This is Jonah's moment of being saved from the worst. But he's not saved from the worst into the best, is he? He's saved from the worst into the second worst. You ever had one of those moments? God, get me out of this. Please get me out of this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm in the frying pan. And the next thing you know, you're in the fire. And you're like, well, thanks. That's great. Beautiful. What? But it's true, isn't it? Sometimes life is like this. Sometimes what God does to save us doesn't feel like salvation at all. Sometimes what God does to help us come to a place where we truly understand his grace is via a pathway that takes us through the belly of a whale. It's via a pathway that takes us into a place where we really have to die to ourselves completely. Jonah had to have got to the point where he would give up on life to allow this to happen. And having given up on life, God gave him back life, but he didn't take him straight to land. He let him sit there for 3 days and three nights. And in that place, he needs to process and begin to say, thank you for saving me. And sometimes our thank you for saving me needs to be there. Sometimes we don't want to thank God for stuff because that stuff is not easy to live in. Like Corrie ten Boom and the fleas, isn't it? In the middle of the valley of the whale, we don't want to say thank you. But the fact is, the belly of the whale is better than where we were. And we know that we're in a difficult place, but we actually know we're moving. And we've come through a process. And sometimes, even when we first come to faith, it's a bit like this, because coming to faith and growing into who God is bringing you to be is a process. So sometimes people come to a place where they say yes to Jesus, and Jesus comes and they are washed by the blood of the Lamb and they feel wonderful, but then life has to change. They've had to actually give up and let God have that life. And we do that in that place of, yes, Lord, I want to be whatever you want me to be, but then actually the reality of living that out can look and feel very different, because there is death before resurrection. It's no accident that in the New Testament, Jesus says that that the only sign that people will get of his place as Messiah is the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights in death. The process of growing in the Lord is a process of dying to myself. And we have to do that as a process. Most of the time, there's things which on the surface we have dealt with. But then as we grow in Christ, he works on the other things too, doesn't he? And sometimes it takes a while for me to realize that actually this bit is holding me back and I need to give that up. And sometimes we know we need to give it up, but giving everything up at once can be difficult. So in the case of some of the people who used to come to our services many years ago when I was running a service where we were inviting people in off the street, and some of those people were trying to give up lots of things and doing it all at once was too hard, but they wanted to come to Jesus. So they worked with each thing as they went through, but they were in a process of dying to those things and living to Jesus. And that is part of how we are renewed. And sometimes those things are physical things like, you know, trying to give up smoking or something like that. You feel that it's something that is ruining a body which belongs to Jesus, and therefore it really needs to be something that I give up because I'm actually poisoning the body the Lord's given me by doing that. So it might be something like that, but it might be something else completely. Maybe it's a thought pattern. Maybe you've spent all your life beating yourself to a pulp every time you've done something wrong, mentally and emotionally. And Jesus wants you to learn that you're worth so much to him, and he doesn't want you beating yourself up. He wants you to let him release you from that self-condemnation, because actually he's died for you and he did that so you don't have to condemn yourself. Maybe it's a pattern of behavior that we have been indulging in and we don't really recognize what we're doing, like somebody I know who has bought a Tats Lotto ticket every week for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, because one day I might make it big and then I'll fix all the problems in my family. Is Tats Lotto your saviour? Now, I'm not averse to people perhaps buying a ticket occasionally, but if it is something you are relying on because one day I'm going to win this and it's going to solve all my problems, you're not relying on Jesus, are you? That person suddenly realized that all their life they had been professing Jesus but relying on Tats Lotto. That was a hard death. It had happened. It was definitely a whale moment. W-A-I-L as well. I was there when it hit home for that person. We have different ways in which God is still bringing us through. And sometimes in those places, it can be really hard to say thank you for what you're doing. But in fact, we have a good, good Father. And even if he's challenging us, and even if he's bringing something to die within us which needs to die so we can be free, is doing that hard thing because that's going to make you a person who can walk on dry land free. So we come out of the frying pan and we're going to the fire, and the fire purifies. And then when we have come to that place where things have been burned out and we've come to the pure, wonderful person, things that God's working in us. We all have our issues, but all worked through that thing. Then suddenly we find we're no longer in the fire because it spat us out when we were purified enough in that area. And then sometimes we have to go through it for something else. This is human life, isn't it? I would love to be perfect immediately. That would require him taking me to heaven, and I'm not ready. The whale, the fish, whatever it is a place of transformation. And there in that place, Jonah speaks. And what does he speak? He prays. And where do the words come from? Well, if you do a study of that prayer, you will find that every last word is an echo of a psalm. Not one word, not one line in there that you can't find in one of the psalms. Word for word. Psalm 18, Psalm 120, Psalm 18 again, Psalm 42, Psalm 139, Psalm 5, Psalm 69, Psalm 30, Psalm 142, Psalm 18 again, Psalm 3. Thankfully, Eugene Peterson wrote them all down so I didn't have to. This is a very good book, Under the Unpredictable Plant, and it's about Jonah, but it's really about ministry. The words that God has spoken to us through Word of God, these are sustenance. This is bread. This is life-giving words. And when we consume them every day, they give us a place from which to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to say. But sometimes the words that we have heard from the Lord over many years, that we have studied, that we have read, that we have sat with, those are the words that come. And I'm sure you've had that moment. Have you ever had a moment where what's come out of your mouth, what's come to your head, to your mind and your heart has been a word straight from the scriptures? Some of us have a life verse. I have a life verse. My life verse is Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. That's my Jonah moment. That was the day that I died. Not spiritually, physically. I had an asthma attack. It was the middle of the night. I was on a retreat. And I was in my single room on my retreat, and they had lit the fire, and the fire had been spewing smoke into the house. And because I'm a moderate to severe asthmatic, severe if I don't have any medication, I breathed too much smoke, but I didn't realize how much smoke I had breathed, really. And I thought, I'll just get away from the smoke and go to my room, and I'll just read scriptures, and I'll pray, and I'll be okay. Take extra Ventolin, and she'd be right. Ignored the symptoms because you do sometimes ignore things even when you shouldn't, and I did. And I fell asleep with Psalm 37 open on my lap. And the last thing I had read was Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will act. And then I woke up and I'd left the lights on because I'd fallen asleep with the lights on and I wasn't breathing at all. Now, any medical person will tell you that an asthmatic, when they get to the point where they cannot get any breath in and out of their lungs, cannot be resuscitated. You will lose them. That's why we don't play with asthma. I couldn't breathe. Nothing was going in and nothing was coming out. And I woke up in that moment when I knew that was it. And immediately, to my mind came, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and you will, and he will act. And in that moment of momentary panic, the next thing was, the scripture came into my mind, and the next thing was peace. And I simply said, Lord, I need you to save me. Otherwise, I'll see you soon. And that was it. Gone. And the only thing I can tell you about that is there was no bright light. There was none of the near-death experience stuff. All I will tell you is that the presence of God was so real that I know I was in his arms. I was not afraid at all. At that moment, all I knew, the presence of God. And then I opened my eyes, and it was 7:30 in the morning, and someone was banging on my door to get up for breakfast. They do this at retreats. And I was breathing normally, no asthma whatsoever. I took a deep breath, and my lungs worked. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. I will not forget that verse. That was my Jonah moment. And that was the day that I said, whatever you want with my life, Lord, you can have it, because you just gave it back to me. We often don't appreciate the Jonah moments. We often come to a place, and I could easily have woken up that morning and gone, that was a close one, wow, and then complained about having had asthma and can you please not light the fire tonight? Because it's easy enough to do, isn't it? It didn't. First I started singing praise to God, and then I went out and told everybody, and we all sang praise to God. And then after a little while, one of them looked at me and went, we could have found you dead. And I said, yes, you could have. In fact, you would have without God. Boom. That helped them to appreciate it. Helped me to appreciate it too. Good heavens, what a thing. This is the thing about the way that God does things. This is the thing about how he works in our lives. Jonah moments are moments to say thank you for, because he will do something with that. And if we can reach within ourselves and find those words, even if right now I know I've gone from frying pan to fire and I'm in the belly of that whale and I do not know how I'm going to get out, the only person who's going to save me is him. And he might not save me the way I want to be saved. After all, Jonah got spat out by the whale, but he still had to go to Nineveh. He may not save you the way you want to be saved, but he will save you. He will bring you through. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you and pay my vows to you, for deliverance belongs to the Lord. There is where we need to sit when life is hard. And if we can sit there, what happens? Yes, God then is able to use that moment to transform our lives. And Holy Spirit will do his work, and we become more and more those who are dead to sin and alive to Christ. Those who are people who are the new creation. That is how we grow. Often the only way to grow is to die a little. Let me pray. Lord, right now in this room, I know there'll be people who are in a Jonah moment. And those who may listen to this sermon later on might find that they are also in a Jonah moment. Father, remind us of your goodness. If there is repentance needed, Lord, help us to know what we have done that we might be set free from. If we are going through a hard time with some sort of medical issue or something which is about finance or anything else that comes from the things of the world, Lord, help us to trust you through them. Activate within us the power of your word made flesh. Through Holy Spirit, bring up the power of your word, your logos word, the word which is written on the pages of your book. Help us to walk by faith, even when faith is really hard. That we might come to that place of resurrection. That your life may pour into us once more. That we might stand on the shore and praise you even more and be renewed to face whatever is next in our lives. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.